Recorded Books presents The Scavengers by William W. Johnstone and J. A. Johnstone, narrated by John Little. Chapter 1. "Look who's coming in again," Alma Brown whispered softly to Gracie Billings when the cook walked past her on her way back to the kitchen. Gracie paused and looked toward the front door. It was the second time this week that Jesse Tice had come in the dining room next to the hotel, appropriately named the Two Forks Kitchen. He had become a regular visitor to the dining room ever since his youngest son was killed there some weeks before. Usually he came in only once a week. "Wonder what's so special about this week?" Alma whispered. They were never happy to see the old man because he made their other customers uncomfortable as he hovered over his coffee, a constant scowl on his unshaven face, while he watched the front door and each customer who walked in. Coffee was the only thing he ever bought. Everyone in town knew his real purpose in haunting the dining room was the chance to see the man who had killed his son. Cullen McCabe was the man he sought. But McCabe was a bigger mystery than Jesse Tice to the people of Two Forks. Everyone knew Jesse as a cattle rustler and horse thief whose three sons were hellraisers and troublemakers. Cullen McCabe, on the other hand, was a quiet man, seen only occasionally in town, and seeming to have no family or friends. Alma's boss, Porter Johnson, owner of the Two Forks Kitchen, had talked to Marshall Woods about Tice's search for vengeance against McCabe. Johnson was not concerned about the fate of either Tice or McCabe. His complaint was the fact that Jesse used his dining room as his base for surveillance, hoping McCabe would return. "Doggone it, Calvin," he had complained to the marshal. "I'm running a dining room, not a damn saloon. Folks come in here to eat, not to see some dirty-looking old man waiting to shoot somebody." Marshall Woods had been unable to give Johnson much satisfaction when he responded to his complaint. "I hear what you're saying, Porter," he had replied. "I reckon you just have to tell Tice you don't want to serve him. That's up to you to serve who you want to and who you don't. I can't tell folks where they can go and where they can't. As far as that shooting in here, I told him right from the start that that fella McCabe didn't have no choice. Sonny started the fight and tried to shoot McCabe in the back, but he just wasn't quick enough. I told Jesse I didn't want any more killing in this town, so I'd have to arrest him if he shot McCabe." Looking at the old man now as he paused to scan the dining room before taking a seat near the door, Alma commented, "One of us might have to tell the old buzzard we don't want him in here. I don't think Porter wants to get started with him. He's probably afraid he'd start shooting the place up." "Maybe we ought to hope McCabe comes back to see us," Gracie said. "Let him take care of Jesse Tice. He took care of Sonny, proper enough. Meanwhile, I'll go wait on him and take his order for one nickel cup of coffee," Alma said. She walked over to the small table close to the front door. "Are you wanting breakfast?" she asked, knowing he didn't. "No, I don't want no breakfast," he snarled. "I done ate breakfast. Bring me a cup of coffee." She turned and went to get it. He watched her for a few moments before bringing his attention back to the room, now only half filled with diners. He didn't see anyone who might be the man who killed his son. The major problem Tice had was the fact that he had never actually seen Cullen McCabe up close. When he and his two sons had gone after McCabe,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?